السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والجنة للموحدين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. الصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في محكم التنزيل بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لله ملك السماوات والأرض، يخلق ما يشاء، يهب لمن يشاء إناثا ويهب لمن يشاء الذكور، أو يزوجهم ذكرانا وإناثا، ويجعل من يشاء أقيما، إنه عليم قدير. صدق الله العظيم. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May He shower His choicest of peace and blessings upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family and his companions, and upon all those who tread his path in the day of Qiyamah. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, first and foremost, I would like to admonish myself with taqwa, and then to all of you to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, to be conscious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us, so that we will be able to gain the true success in this world and the hereafter. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored us with a comprehensive religion, which is Deenul Islam. Deenul Islam covers the teachings which are related to all aspects of a human's life. From his birth till his burial, Islam has shown guidance to man how he should conduct himself. By following those teachings in the Quran and the Sunnah, a person is able to find happiness, peace, tranquility in this world, and at the same time in the world to come. In the hereafter, insha'Allah ta'ala, he is going to enjoy the eternal bliss and success as well. So respected brothers, in today's khutbah, insha'Allah ta'ala, we would briefly highlight on how we could bring up righteous, pious children to the society. So number one, respected brothers, all of us need to understand that a child is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look at the verses in the Quran where the children are mentioned, or when the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, when they asked Allah for children, the word which is used by in most of the verses is a word which stems out from the Arabic word hiba. The Arabic word hiba means a gift, a bounty. And when we look at the verses, as I mentioned, we see some places Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam making dua, asking Allah to gift him children. Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam asking Allah to gift him children, bestow him with children, favor him with children. And the verse of the Quran which I recited before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, to Allah belongs the heavens and the earth. And thereafter he says, يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ, Allah creates what he wills, what he wants. And thereafter he says, يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثَ. The word يَهَبُ in Arabic stems out from the word hiba. He gives daughters to whomsoever he wills. And then he continues, وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورِ, and he gives sons to those whom he wills. It doesn't stop there. أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانَ وَإِنَاثَ, and for some Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them daughters and sons. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes the verse saying, وَيَجَعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ أَقِيمًا, and there are such individuals whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them barren. They are unable to bear children. Respected brothers, the wisdom behind why a person is not having a child lies in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why isn't Allah giving me a child? That is in the wisdom of Allah. Perhaps, maybe, in the hikmah of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that we are not strong enough, or we are weak to handle a child, for example. Maybe we won't be able to bear a child. But maybe in our intellect we want a child. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is best for us, and He has decreed that for us. As Muslims, we need to accept it and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives us the best in this world and the hereafter. So respected brothers, coming back to the topic, children are a gift from Allah. We need to understand that first and foremost. And then, what is the vision of having a child? Allah says it's a gift, right? Then what is the vision of having a child? You see, when we have our office, wherever we work, we have a vision and we have a mission. We have both. If we have a vision and we try to work towards achieving that vision, we call it the mission. So what is the vision of having a child? When you look at the hadith of the Nabi, hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانِ إِنْ قَطَعَ عَنْهُ عَمَلُهُ. When a person dies, all his deeds are disconnected. It comes to an end. And in that hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are three things which will still continue coming to a person's grave after his demise, after his death. He said, number one, صَدَقَةٍ جَارِيَةٍ. A continuous charity. A continuous charity which that individual made when he was alive and he has passed on, he's going to receive the reward for that continuous charity even if he's in the grave. For example, he makes arrangements in such a way that he's able to provide water for certain localities by digging a well or any other way. So as long as the people derive benefit from this charitable act of this person, he's rewarded while he's in the grave. That's Sadaqatul Jariyah. And then he said, ilmin yuntafa'u bih. Knowledge by which people benefit from. So if a person was able to, for example, a scholar, he teaches ilm and he has become a means or he has become a sabab for many ulama to come up. So this person passes on, even though all his deeds are disconnected, the good deeds what these people, these scholars are doing and the da'wah they do, all those rewards come to that person while he's in the grave. The final one which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said was, وَلَدٍ صَالِحٍ يَدْعُو لَهُ. A pious child who would make dua for his parents. So this is the vision. So what is the vision? Each and every person who has a child or who is going to have a child should have the vision that my child should pray for me when I am in the grave. If not, we mustn't have shallow vision, like I want my son to become a doctor. MashaAllah, good. If he practices Islam and within the framework of Sharia, if he conducts himself, good, well and good. But let us not keep our visions very narrow-minded. Let us keep it beyond death as well. One day I'll be passing on from dunya, the children I have, they're going to pray for me. And likewise, respected brothers, to interpret this further, to elaborate on the subject, all of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted us with one life. Not a single person on earth, even a prophet claimed that he has two lives. So every person who came to this world has to depart and has only one life. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifts a person with a child, it is as if he has got another life. If he has two children, it is as if he has got two lives extra along with his, the total it becomes three. And we can keep on adding. But what I'm trying to say is, respected brothers, when we have an extra life, it is a benefit for us because our records are not closed even when we are in the grave. So he has many children. The good deeds which these children do while they are in dunya, all the rewards of these children are going to be received by this person in the grave. So he had only one life, but he invested on many children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is as if he has got many lives. So this is the vision of having a child based on the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what is the foundation which an individual, a Muslim, has to lay to achieve this vision? Number one is, respected brothers, all of us need to understand that the foundation for righteous progeny or a righteous generation is before a child is born. Most of the individuals might think, okay, let me have a child and then think about what to do next. But when we look at bringing up a child in the light of Quran and Sunnah, we see that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Salaf have spoken about children even before the child was born. There are two things here. Number one, one of the Sahaba, when he advised his children, one of the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he advised his children, he said, nikah is similar to planting a seed. Nikah is similar to planting a seed. A person should be careful as to where he plants his seeds. This is the advice the father gives his children. Nikah is like planting a seed. So be careful where you plant your seed. So it is like, that is because nikah is the foundation for children to come. And if the seed is not sown, or if it is not planted in the right land, the children who are going to come out of that particular environment, that home, that parent, is also going to be the same in most of the cases, with exceptions. So respected brothers, even before the child is born, Islam speaks about finding the right or finding the noble partner in this worldly life. It can refer to both genders, males and females. So if we are to ask the youngsters, do you prefer or do you like to get married to a sister who doesn't cover herself right, or she doesn't perform her salam on time, or she doesn't maintain her mahrams properly? If a brother is religious, the answer is going to be, no, I don't want. I want my wife to be a person who will be praying 5 times. But most of the time he might be thinking about the near future. But remember brothers, if he has to think about the future in the which is to come, in the years to come, I am sure not a single person will like for his children to see a mother who doesn't pray 5 times salah. Or nobody will like his child to see a mother who doesn't cover herself properly. So therefore, it is important that individuals pay very important attention about finding a noble partner who is religious before they get married or before they embark on the journey of marriage. This is number one. The number two is, when we look at the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, when one of you wants to have relationship with your spouse, let him read the dua, Bismillahi Allahumma jannibna shaytan wa jannibi shaytan ma razaqtana. This riwayah is in Sahih al-Bukhari. He said, the meaning of the dua is, when the couples want to have relationship, they say, Bismillah, in the name of Allah, Allahumma jannibna shaytan, O Allah, protect us from shaytan. Protect us from shaytan. وَجَنِّبِ الشَّيْطَانَ مَا رَزَقْتَنَا, and protect what you are going to give us, what you are going to sustain us through this, also from shaytan. In other words, Ya Allah, protect our offspring from shaytan. So this is a foundation for a child, and the dua which is read at that moment is this. And scholars who interpret this dua, they say, what is the meaning of asking Allah to protect the children from shaitan? So is it that the child is not going to commit sins in the world? Is that what means? No. Respected brothers, they explain. One of the interpretations given is, they say, if it is decreed through this relationship, if Allah is to provide them with a child, this child will be protected from committing major sins. This is one of the interpretations. Major sins, yani like it may, what it means is zina, consuming alcohol, and so many other kaba'ir, major sins mentioned in the sharia, this individual, this child who is to be born, will not commit them, inshaAllah ta'ala. Another interpretation for this dua is, if it is decreed that they are going to have a child through the relationship, this child will not die a non-Muslim. There are so many instances, there are individuals who are born to Muslims, Allah should protect all of us, but they passed away as non-Muslims. They passed away as apostates. They gave up the religion of Islam. Through this dua, it is an assurance that the child will die as a Muslim, inshallah ta'ala. So these are two interpretations given by the scholars for this dua. And further, when it comes to achieving the vision, there were two things which were discussed. Number one, finding the noble partner, the right partner. Number two is reciting the appropriate du'as during such instances. Number three is providing a good environment at home. Today, mis respected brothers, there are so many parents complaining about their children. The children are not listening to them. They are out of control. There are so many different complaints made by parents today, which is common throughout the world. But we need to see whether we have gone wrong in bringing up our children. And one of the most important places where we need to focus is our own home. Our own home. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Kullu mawludin yuladu ala al-fitrah." Every child is born a Muslim. Every child is born a Muslim. It is his parents who make him a Christian, who make him a Jew, or who makes him a fire worshipper. All that is due to the parents, and it is not the child. Because the child is innocent till a certain age. And the child is brought up in such an environment, and it starts following what it sees at home. If he sees that the parents are following Islam, the child is going to follow Islam. And if the child doesn't see that in his house, most of the cases, the child is not going to be a practicing Muslim. So, number one is providing a good home environment when it comes to starting from our side. Number two is, respected brothers, being the best example at home. Being the best example. Quran says, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. The command is to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ayah means, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. Command your family to pray. Ask your family to perform the 5 times salah. وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. But don't forget, O Prophet, you have to be constant in your prayer. This ayah is teaching us, as elders at home, we need to lead by example. Not only things related to our religion, like prayers or reciting the Quran or fasting or doing some azkar, but overall, the entire life should be shown by us to that child. For example, if a child is brought up in an environment where he sees frequently the elders are lying, if the elders have the habit of lying, if this child is brought up in that environment, it is the probability of this child being a liar is also very high. Because the child sees the elders at home lying frequently. Likewise, if the child at home sees that the elders are not having proper principles and policies with regard to certain things, the child also will follow the same thing. So therefore, we have to set an example to our children. If a person wants to make his children who will establish prayer on time, not prayer alone, prayer on time in the masjid. So this, if the head of the family, when he is traveling, for example, if he is able to drop in, like if he can go to a masjid on the way and stop for prayers and pray with jama'ah, this is going to be a very nice example for that child to follow. Maybe the father would pass on, but the child will not forget the good what the father had taught him. Because the father used to drop by the masajid which they used to pass by for salah, and the child also makes it a point, and that is inshaAllah ta'ala going to be there in that family for generations to come. But whereas, if those leading the family are negligent about salah, it's obvious that the child also will be the same. So the next one is being the best example. And finally, respected brothers, it is not always easy to mold the children the way we want. It is a test. We need to know that. Because the Quran says that the worldly life is a test. The entire life is a test. And in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ Fitna. Indeed, your wealth and your children are a test for you. Innama amwalukum wa auladukum fitna. Indeed, your wealth and your children are a test for you. So sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might test us through our children. After doing all the homework, still the child is not finding the correct navigation the way we want. That could be a test from Allah. During such instances, respected brothers, Quran is there to console us. We have the example of many children in the Quran. Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam was the son of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. When we read the story of this, the father and the son, most of us yearn, we desire that our children too become like Ismail alayhi salam. And there is Yahya alayhi salam and Zakaria alayhi salam. Great people to follow. They were giants. Respected brothers, but there are other examples as well in the Quran. We have the example of Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam and his son. When the flood struck, Nuh alayhi salam calls his son, who was not a Muslim then. He calls his son, "Oh my son, why don't you come and embark on the ship, the ark?" The son says, "Oh my father, I am ready to take refuge by another mountain and I will be protected by the floods." He didn't listen to the father, but he died a kafir. He died a kafir. So respected brothers, we are the example which the Quran says is the child dying a kafir. But it is not right for a person to show the example of the son of Nuh alayhi salam and justify his mistake saying that Allah is testing me the way he tested Nuh alayhi salam, because of his negligence. He does all the homework right. Now the children are not finding the right path. Now this is a test. We don't do anything and the children are going in the wrong track. We have to take responsibility of our action. And remember, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was propagating the truth for 950 years. How many years do we invest in bringing up our children properly? So if somebody quotes the example of Nuh alayhi salam, we have to tell them, brother, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam invested 950 years for his son. Only after that, he couldn't. Even just before the death of his son, he still tried calling his son to the ship. He didn't just give away. But there are some instances, Allah forbid. There are situations, maybe somebody would renounce Islam, Allah forbid. But how do we approach this son? How do we approach this child of mine? He has renounced Islam. Can I ignore him? He is a product of mine. He has come to this world because of my efforts. Is it possible to say that I have a person who has renounced Islam? So it is not easy, respected brothers, at some time. But we need to remember, we need to face that test with sabr and with dua. And with lot of effort. And finally, one of the best methods where we can get this thing in a practical way is get close to our children. We need to spend time with our children every day. At least few minutes with our children. If we can read books like Riyadhus Salihin, having our family together, when they listen to the virtues of Salah, when they listen to the virtues of Quran, virtues of Azkar, and so many different things in these books, that is going to mold them. Alhamdulillah, we have given them the worldly education. We have spent sometimes millions for their education. It's not haram in Sharia to do that. We have made them spend years in education, for degrees, for so many other qualifications. But respected brothers, how many parents think that for me to teach Islam to my child is also a responsibility? Most of the parents will say, "I have to earn a living because I have to sustain my family, I have to look after my children, I have to pay their school fees." All these are responsibilities, yes. But along with that, there is a responsibility which most parents are negligent about. It is to teach Islam to their children. Sometimes maybe we don't know Islam to teach them. At least if we can read books like Riyadhus Salihin in the house, in a particular time, we can fix the time on a daily basis, at least to 10 to 15 minutes, we make it a point to read. InshaAllah ta'ala, this small investment made by the head of the family, inshaAllah they are going to see the fruits of this. Not the following day, they will see the true fruits inshaAllah when there is their grace. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us children who would become a means of coolness to our eyes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us children who will take us to Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that sabr where we are able to bring up righteous, pious children in this world who will become a means of our salvation in the hereafter. Wa akhir da'wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. மேலும் இது போன்ற இன்னும் பல பயான்களை www.acmyc.com எனும் இஸ்லாமிய இணையதளம் ஊடாக நீங்களும் டவுன்லோட் செய்து கொள்ள முடியும். அஸ்ஸலாமு அலைக்கும்.